by simply chanting Hare Krishna, then Krishna is present. And by learning how to chant Hare Krishna without offense, then we can realize Krishna's presence for ourselves personally. So that without offense means that we have to give up the mentality of being somehow or another independent of Krishna, independent of laws of material nature, for the purpose of trying to have a good time in the material world, or at least to avoid a bad time. Therefore, there are offenses against chanting the holy name, and if we try to avoid them, then gradually our service attitude towards Krishna, his representatives, will increase. And as our service attitude increases, then we'll see that our body is simply an instrument, should be used as an instrument for Krishna, especially to spread the holy name. That my mind should be thinking of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, or his instructions on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and my words should be utilized to preach Krishna's glories. If we take it seriously, otherwise initiation, of course it's nice having a different name for a while, but that's really not the purpose of initiation. There's many people in India that have many nice, beautiful Sanskrit names. And that doesn't mean they're necessarily devotees to Krishna or making any spiritual progress. But the name is simply to remind us that we're Krishna Das, that we're not Krishna, and we're not going to become Krishna. Even if we work very hard and sincerely at it, we don't want to disappoint anyone here, but that's more or less our philosophy. So, then advances against chanting the holy name, which we avoid. The first one is the blasphemous devotees who dedicated their lives to propagation of the holy name of the Lord. Sometimes we think, well, an easy way of not blaspheming the devotees is simply to avoid them. Then I won't get myself into trouble. But actually, the positive aspect of this offense is we should positively seek the association of devotees and try to serve them. Serving them doesn't mean to have a good time with them. You know, I have my favorite friends, we're all devotees. We have our favorite movies. Sometimes we go and watch devotional movies like Avatar. So devotional, but his name at least had something to do with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna was Krishnaized somehow or another. And my friends are the ones who paid for my going to the movies, so that way we know we're devotional friends. No, actually, friends are the ones who actually help us, remind us about Krishna, and service to other devotees, others, makes to help them remember Krishna also. Therefore, we should not only not criticize the devotees, because after all, we're in the material world, everyone has their anarthas or faults, but we should try to see the good that the devotees are doing and try to assist them in their progression in devotional service the best we can. The second offense is consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the
In the Veda culture, people understood that the material nature doesn't work automatically. It works with intelligence. Therefore, the sun rises at an appointed time, and it sets at an appointed time. It's not simply some fanatical Hare Krishna philosophy that the sun's coming up at an appointed time and setting its appointed time. It's just obvious to those who have some discrimination, some perception. And this is a good sign that the universe is being controlled. Now, just like in the government, there may be a supreme head of the government, like the president, but he has many persons working underneath him, controlling different departments. But ultimately, they're working underneath him. So Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, or Indra or other controllers of the universe, they're all working underneath Krishna. When we become aware that there are controllers, we can gradually understand that Krishna is the supreme controller. We're also controllers, or we seem to be controllers, but we're very small controllers, but Krishna is a very wonderful, unlimited controller. The third offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. What's that? Anyhow, third or fourth, doesn't it? The third offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or consider the orders of the spiritual master to be ordinary or to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So, we may think the spiritual master is an ordinary person. As a matter of fact, we may think all the devotees more or less ordinary persons. We may even think Krishna is an ordinary person. A little bit more powerful than we are, but you know, ultimately he had some problems too. I mean, he grew up, as soon as he was born, well, first of all, his parents were criminals and he was born in a prison. Somehow or another he escaped and the police were always looking for him. And the proof that he's a criminal is that as soon as his nurse came to feed him, he killed her. And then he started to kill the animals in the forest. He killed a duck. He killed a bull. He was just killing everything he could get his hands on. Then finally, when he got old enough, he started to steal. And not only that, he had a gang of people stealing for him. And no one could control him. As a matter of fact, when they did, he threatened them. He was going to harass their children, pour water in their ears, and pinch them. Then he started, when he got a little older, he started to chase after the ladies in the village. And as soon as they got serious, he fled. Because he was so irresponsible. And then the history goes on, he was doing the same mischief. Even in other places, people would come to visit him with their armies, and he'd kill them all. And there he was. Anyhow, the story goes on. Some people may take Krishna as an ordinary person, just like Prabhupada said, they claim Krishna was lusty. He married 16,108 women. But Prabhupada said if he was lusty, then he was unlimitedly lusty. Because he was able to live with 16,108 women simultaneously. So people are criticizing Krishna, that they don't see. How he's able to expand himself 16,108 times. In any case, so what is the difference between an ordinary person and a spiritual person? To an ordinary person, they appear to be the same. But for a person who has spiritual eyes, they can understand that although everything is moving under Krishna's direction, because Krishna is God, but at the same time, Krishna has two energies, spiritual and material. So those things are moving under Krishna's will, according to Krishna's directions, acting as an instrument for Krishna, they're moving under his spiritual energy. And those who are moving under without Krishna's directions, following the dictation of their senses and mind, they're moving and acting under the external energy. So when one energy will enlighten us and enliven us with spiritual energy, the other will bewilder us and inflict us with different kinds of material miseries. So the spiritual master, any devotee who's acting under Krishna's directions, they can't be considered ordinary compared to the people who are simply acting according to the external energy. And that way, they're extraordinary. Not that whatever they do is as good, as powerful as Krishna, or they can remember everything like Krishna, but although they're quantitatively, they remain the same, and even their activities generally remain quantitatively infinitesimal, but the quality of their activities is spiritual. And we follow their instructions, coming down in the simple succession, and follow their example of serving Krishna, then we'll also become under the internal energy and become spiritualized ourselves. But if we criticize them, especially for insignificant things, like one time, one devotee, he was sitting in class, and he was wearing, one time Prabhupada was sitting in class in 26 Second Avenue, and he was wearing glasses, spectacles, while he was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one boy came into the class and saw Prabhupada with glasses, and he exclaimed out loud, "I heard that this person was perfect, but now I see he's wearing glasses. How can he be perfect?" And he left. So that kind of perfection is not perfection. Perfection is, as one magician was performing in front of Prabhupada, making cards appear, making jewels appear and disappear, etc. And then he asked Prabhupada, "Can you do any magic tricks yourself?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "I can do magic tricks. I can stop birth, death, old age, and disease. Can you do that?" So the man had to admit, he can't stop birth, death, old age, and disease. So then Prabhupada pointed out his disciples, one time also when they challenged him like that, "Can you show us some mystic power?" And then Prabhupada said, he pointed to his disciples and said, "This is my mystic power. Previously, they were addicted to all kinds of sinful activities, and now they're mad after love of God." So he said, "That's my mystic power." The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So in the Vedic literature, there are so many instructions, there are so many descriptions which are completely beyond our imagination. And therefore, naturally, we'll become skeptical, or even we'll think it's mythology. But the Vedic literature is not a fairy tale, but much of it is beyond our present comprehension and experience. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. Neither we can prove it's wrong, nor we can prove it's right, in one sense. But what we can do is try to follow the instructions that pertain to us under our present circumstances that promise to help us advance spiritually. And if we do that, then gradually we'll realize the potency of the Vedic literature. Whether or not there's mountains 100,000 miles high with fruits on it the size of elephants makes no difference, because neither we're going to be able to get one of those fruits and eat it. It makes no real difference, nor we can prove it's not there. We can claim, "I've gone to all the grocery stores and I've never seen a mango fruit the size of an elephant. So how is it possible?" Well, we haven't been to the grocery stores, every grocery store in Jambudweep. But whether we can go to those grocery stores or not doesn't make any difference. But if we hear the instructions how to chant the holy name, for instance, without offense, and we do that, and we experience Krishna's presence, that's a lot more powerful than seeing a tree the size or a mountain or a tree the size of a extraordinarily high tree. The fifth offense is consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. So there are so many descriptions about the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. We ourselves may not be able to experience them, but if we pay attention, we learn how to pay attention to when we're chanting Hare Krishna, then gradually we'll be able to experience that Krishna is actually present in his holy name. But before that, by chanting Hare Krishna, we can see at least that it has certain effects. For instance, people who are chanting the holy name, they find it easier to follow principles like no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. Now, others may interpret or think, because the next offense is to give mundane interpretation of the holy name. We may consider that all these glories written in the Vedic literature about the holy name are imagination, and that the effect of chanting the holy name is because, as one poet said, the effect is because when the people are chanting, they're hyperventilating, and that gets them high. But that's not the effect of the holy name. You can try hyperventilating. A lot of people hyperventilate, but they don't fall for the principles in their life. Nor are they interested in advancing spiritually. So the chanting is something spiritual. We can go on chanting Hare Krishna, and we don't get tired of chanting Hare Krishna. We can do it day after day after day. And therefore, it must be of a different quality. Prabhupada used to say, if we chant water, 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 after a while we get tired of chanting water, and we never really get a taste of water by chanting water. But when we chant the holy names of Krishna, or the holy names of God, then the result is we actually feel elevated in consciousness. And it's not due to hyperventilation or some other mundane reason. It's due to the fact that Krishna and his name are non-different, and that we're actually associating with the supreme source of all happiness and illumination eternally when we chant Hare Krishna. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. So sometimes in some religions, they think that if we take shelter of the leader of the religion, then we get some immunity from our sinful reactions. It's like you have a credit card. And when you commit sinful activities, then you just charge the credit card to your leader, like a Jesus Christ credit card. So you commit some sinful activity and some agent of the Supreme Lord comes to take you away and say, well, don't take me away. I charge all my sins to Jesus Christ. And he accepted the charge. It's like you make a deal with your father that, my dear father, I'm going to steal for the family so much money, but since my family needs me, I'll make a deal with you. If they arrest me, I'll tell them that we've already made a deal that I won't go to jail, my father will. So therefore, you commit some illegal activity, the police arrest you and say, wait a second, I have a contract with my father, he's supposed to go to jail for me. Generally, it's not acceptable, in most civilized countries at least. Similarly, if we commit sinful activities, we may chant the holy name, and of course the chanting associated with Krishna will purify us. But the sinful reactions of the sinful of offending the holy name will be greater probably than our sinful activity itself. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna one of the auspicious ritualistic activities, or from the Vedas as fruit of activities or kama kanda. So there are so many descriptions of the glories of performing rituals. You can go to the heavens, you can associate with the apsaras and the beautiful gardens there, you can live for billions of years on the planet of Brahmaloka, you can become a demigod with all mystic power. It's all described in the Vedic literature. And at the same time, there is some description of Hare Krishna. But they can't be equated, because whatever we can attain in this material world, it's all temporary. Even Lord Brahma's life, which is described as 411,040,000,000,000 years, is described as simply a flash of lightning in the sky, in cosmic space, in cosmic time. It seems unlimited, 411,040,000,000,000 years, compared to our lifetime. But compared to eternity, it has no significance whatsoever. There have been unlimited number of Brahmas already who have come and gone. As it said, there is one Rishi, his name is Lomaharsha Rishi. Lomarsha means hairy. So he was known as the Hairy Rishi. I guess that's where the hippies came from. And Lomaharsha Rishi, he had so much hair on his body, covered his whole body, and it is said that every time a Lord Brahma would be born and die, one of his hairs would fall out. And he had the good fortune of living for as long as he had any hair left on his body. So one day he was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, chanting Hare Krishna and meditating upon Krishna, the holy name, and one of his disciples came and said, "Guru Maharaj, you've been sitting here in the hot sun. We'd like to build for you a bhajan kutir to protect you from the weather." And Lomaharsha Rishi said, "Well, what's the sense? I'm only going to live for a short period of time." Therefore, the result of chanting Hare Krishna is we can go back to the spiritual world where we can enjoy life with Krishna, unlimited love and bliss, and full consciousness forever. And everything else besides that is just temporary. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Of course, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't preach, but we should preach appropriately according to what people can understand. Srila Prabhupada, he constantly preached about the difference between matter and spirit, because for most of us, if not all of us, that's a difficult thing to understand, that we're actually different from our body. And even if we can temporarily understand that our body is changing and that we're not changing, still to actually put into practice requires a great amount of concentration, effort, consistent. Therefore, that was a level that Prabhupada saw fit to preach on to help elevate us to the spiritual platform. And when he found people could not understand that level of awareness, the difference between matter and spirit, Prabhupada preached on the principles of Vananashram. And when he saw people couldn't understand Vananashram, that we should have an intelligent people in society to guide society, then he asked for some prasadam to give to them and talked about the weather or something. But he didn't try to... I mean, Prabhupada was expert at preaching. One time some ladies came. They thought that Prabhupada was a great mystic. They heard he was a great mystic. So they came to see him. Prabhupada was sitting there chanting, and they walked in and sat down, and Prabhupada didn't say a word to them. And they sat there for a half an hour. Prabhupada kept on chanting. They looked at him, and they walked out and said, "Yes, he's a great mystic. He's completely in samadhi." So Prabhupada was in touch with the super soul. He knew exactly who to preach to and how to preach. So if we want to know how to preach, we should read Prabhupada's conversations and listen to his classes, and then we'll find out how a person who's actually situated in transcendence knows how to apply the philosophy according to time, place, and audience. And the last offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. In other words, it is not possible to realize all our anarthas, all our wanted activities all at once. But when we do realize some of them, We should try to get rid of them by paying more attention to the holy name. It is not that we should think that I have some precious in Artha and I really don't want to get rid of it. I've saved it up since time immemorial and it's just too nice to get free from. So I'll give Krishna anything, but don't take away that anartha. No, Krishna will try in so many different ways to convince us to get rid of our anarthas, but if we're really attached to it, you know, I have this anartha, you know, look at it, isn't it nice? My mother loves it. I had it when I was a baby, she has a picture of it. She'd be disappointed if I gave it up. No, we should realize that there are things that stand in the way of realizing Krishna, and Krishna is so great, he's worth giving up anything for. One time, Shyamasundar Prabhu, in 1967, he was making the first deities of Lord Jagannath, carving them for San Francisco Rath Yatra. And it took him a long time, because he was a perfectionist, and he did them in his house. So he was chipping away, and probably was becoming impatient. So he came to Shyamasundar Prabhu's house, and when he came to his house, he saw there was Lord Jagannath partially carved, there was Lord Baladev partially carved, and there was Srimati Subhadra Devi partially carved. And the top of Srimati Subhadra Devi's head was a pack of cigarettes. And Prabhupada took his cane and knocked the cigarettes off of her head. And then he said to Shyamasundar, he said, don't let this little thing stand in the way between you and Krishna. Then he said, the best way of giving it up, he said, you start, I don't know, how many cigarettes are in a pack, 30 or something? 20. So start with 20, and then work your way, you know, smoke 20 one day, and then work your way down, do one less every day until you come out to zero. So Prabhupada knew, you know, how to preach to help people give up their attachments. If you read the Lilamrita, there were devotees, they were very attached to coffee and donuts. And I guess it was in Haight-Ashbury. So Prabhupada, he was also very encouraging to them. There were another group of devotees who were much more strict, but they were not so much into preaching. They followed very strictly. The ones who were into donuts and the coffee, they generally were much more outgoing and preachers. And whenever Prabhupada would pass by, they'd duck. When he passed by the... But Prabhupada, somehow or another, at that particular time, was, we don't recommend coffee and donuts, by the way. But he was able to tolerate it because he understood that by preaching, eventually they become purified. And they might give up the coffee, I don't know about the donuts, especially if they were made without eggs. Anyhow, we have a restaurant in New York that they have a donut factory, so if you really like donuts, you can visit the New York Temple. And they offer the donuts too, so that's good. The purport is we should pay attention to the holy name, try to chant as sincerely as possible, and then also try to not get distracted, because our distractions are all the different conceptions that come to our mind, different inspirations, so-called inspirations, creative thoughts that come to our mind that distract us from chanting. All these are anarthas, either in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, or in the mode of ignorance. So we should try gradually just pay attention to the holy name, take shelter of Krishna, and gradually they'll all go away. And if they come up, don't get the conception that I just can't give this one up. That will not be very good. So, thank you. Now, first initiation is a vow to chant the holy name a certain number of times a day, follow certain principles, and at the same time, try to make a sincere effort by the chanting of the holy name to make spiritual progress and revive our lost relation with Krishna. Prabhupada wrote to me in the first in my initiation letter, when he sent me my initiation beads, he said, "You are right, we're all trapped souls, but simply take these beads and chant Hare Krishna, and this will help revise your relationship with Krishna." Someone should put on the neck beads. We give the beads now. We also give a paper bag. There's a story of one sage when he did a sacrifice. But he had a cat and he didn't have anyone to take care of the cat. So he tied the cat up next to the sacrifice. So every time he did a sacrifice, he tied his cat up to the sacrifice. So his disciples thought that in order to perform the sacrifice properly, you needed a cat to be tied up next to the sacrifice. So every time from then after, whenever his disciples did a sacrifice, after the disappearance of their Guru Maharaj, they needed a cat, and they tied it up to the sacrifice. And that way they thought the sacrifice was properly performed. I'm just instructing, we don't need a paper bag. So now we'll give the beads. Are they tied on? Yes. So you can come here first, pay a basis to Prabhupada, and then you can come back. You can go over there, actually.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Pay obeisances. So, what are the four of the well? Here, take a microphone. So. Principles?
No meat eating, including fish and eggs, no illicit sex, no intoxicants, and no gambling.
And how long will you follow them for?
Forever.
Well, at least we try one lifetime.
Okay, one lifetime.
And how many rounds will you chant every day?
16 rounds.
At least.
At least.
And we're also asked, according to the GBC resolutions, that you'll follow the instructions coming down from the leaders, especially the GBC, and even the temple president. Not blindly, but Neither we blindly follow, nor will we blindly reject the instructions. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
Good. So now we're going to give you the beads and a bead bag also. Put your hands out like this. So your name will be Achyutananda Das. We were going to give the name of Arjuna because it runs in the family, but we but we decided to give him. We asked his daughter, and she decided we should give him another name. Hare Krishna. You want me to do that? Okay. Do we have a book? Okay, sorry. Shall we start now? Well, you're going to do... Jai Shishi Radha Kala Chandri Ki Jai. Chant that? Yeah, sure. Well, I can chant. You can chant. Okay. Oh, well, yeah, you can tell him how to do Ashman, or you want me to do that? You have an Ashman cup there? So you take three sips of water in your left hand, the right hand. The Ashman cup is right there. First purify your left hand, and then purify your right hand, and take three drops of water in your right hand, and you sip it, and you say Om Keshavaya Namaha. And just take another three drops and just put it off to the side. We'll chant, repeat this mantra: Om Pavitra Apavitrava Sarvavastam Katopiva Yak Smared Pundarikaksham Sa Bayantaram Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. So then you do the same thing again in your right hand. Take three drops of water, just three drops, unless you're thirsty, and then sip them. And this time is Om Narayana Maha. And then take another drops of water and just in your right hand and just put it off to the side. Om Pavitra Apavitrava Sarvavastam Katopiva Yak Smared Pundarikaksham Sa Bayantram Suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. We do the same thing again. Three drops of water. Om Gai Govindaya Namaha. And then sip it. And then take a drop of water and put it off to the side. Om Apavitra Pavitrava Sarvavastam Katopiva Yak Smared Pundarikaksham Sa Bayantaram Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. So this means pavitra, purified apavitra va, or unpurified, sarvavastam katobi va, having passed through all different situations in this lifetime, yaksmarad pundarikaksham, one who remembers the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, both within, he becomes purified both within and without himself. Now we'll start with these mantras, and you have some grains to throw into the fire stack. So you take them between, don't use this finger, the index finger. Okay. And then you just throw a little. Make sure you don't hit Nityananda Prabhu. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Swaha. So you put, throw some grains in there. Swaha. Throw the grains. When I say throw, swaha, you throw the grains. The fire is hungry. You got to feed it. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Swaha 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 Mandeham Shigro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigrum Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Tam Vitam Sajivam Savaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakans Vitamscha Swaha 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 Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Swayam Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Desitarne Swaha 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 Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namane Shivarshava Navi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yojvala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhakti Da Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarane Rupanuga Viruda Apasantanta Dwanta Harine Namo Gaurakasharai Swaha 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 Namo Gaurakasharaya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Vasambode Padambo Jaya Te Namaha Swaha 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 Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchitananda Namane Gaura Shakti Srupaya Rupanuga Variete Swaha 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 Gauravira Bhava Bhumes Twam Nirdesha Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Swaha 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 Pancha Kalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Payevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Swaha 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 Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha Swaha 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 Panchatattva Vikam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Srupakam Bhakta Avatara Bhaktyakam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Swaha 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 Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Swaha 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 Jayatam Suratopangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvaswa Padambojo Radhamadana Mohano Swaha 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 Divya Vrindaranya Kapadrumada Srimad Radnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prestalavi Sevyamano Smarami Swaha 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 Srimad Rasa Rasarambi Vangsivata Tatarasitaha Karshan Venu Swinair Gopir Gopinatha, Shriye Sunaha, Swaha, 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 Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshri, Brishubhanu, Sutadevi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Swaha, Swaha, Swaha. Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaur, Bhaktavrinda, Swaha, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Swaha, Swaha, Swaha.
I want you to stand up and take the banana in your hands.
Namo Brahmane Vaya. Namo Brahmane Vaya. Namo Brahmane Vaya.